This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Hour number three on the board here. Priscello, Tony Gwynn Jr., idle today. Matt Scraby in the Odyssey Palace. He's getting ready for the Scraby Chronicles, which we will all enjoy between 6 and 7 p.m. tonight.
Paul Skeens are incoming.
Well, I don't know why you're picking on him. He's not out there actively,
and I plan to say that,
promoting himself for Rookie of the Year.
I plan to say
he
all
cannot
of this.
Help the fact that everybody out there just loves him no matter what happens.
I plan to say all of this. This is not a Paul Skeens. Okay, this is a media treatment of Paul Skeens' rant.
Got it. All right. Sounds like a guy that wants Jackson Merrill to be the Rookie of the Year.
Matt Snyder makes an amazing point.
Well, we'll see if that
Jackson Merrill
point holds up.
Had never played the position he was selected for the All-Star game.
It should come into play.
It should, but it won't.
All right. Well, we'll find out. We'll all find out together, Scrape.
I need to get more sleep because I'm
we'll
an angry human today.
All find out together. You are quite cranky today. Good news. Padres have 5 All-Stars. Bad news. One of them is not Yu Darvish, and we don't know when Darvish is going to be back. We talked about it earlier on the show. If this is a personal thing to the level of, you know, having a guy, the professional likes of Yu Darvish, to walk away from the game and not be paid,
that's a lot.
I have great concern for what's happening in the life of Yu Darvish, and that is all I'm hoping we'll get squared away. I know there's people out there like, oh, God, how can he do this to us?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't come into play
here.
No,
this is bigger than
correct.
Baseball.
Correct.
You can't, like, I guess there are some Japanese media outlets reporting what's happening, but I'm not going to report it because I don't know that it's true. So,
yeah,
if you want to go find reasons, you can maybe find reasons.
I'm sure everybody's, well, since nobody gave the actual reason, then everybody's going to try to make a bunch of them up. And we're not going to do that. So you're right, Scraby. If you want to go try to find out some possible reasons why, knock yourself out.
I think the unpaid absence tells us everything.
Knock yourself out. One quick NBA note before we get to today's Chris vs. the Fans. If you can't stand Paul Skeens and all of the media attention being lauded upon him, how you doing these days on Bronny James? Pretty good?
Again, another guy said this is not his fault. It's the media reaction to him.
He had 4 points and 2 rebounds in his first summer game, and you would have thought he just, you know, lit up Jerry West with a posterizing dunk.
No, I saw the opposite. I saw this was a horrible debut for him.
I didn't see that at all.
I saw a title that says,
I saw 4 points, 2 rebounds. Bronny's, you know, and I'm like, there was some guy in the Lakers in that game who hit 6 threes. They didn't even mention the guy.
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous. But
you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I saw the title was Bronny James Gets His Ankles Broken. So, of course, I had to click and see. The guy was nowhere even near breaking his ankle, so we got to chill out on that stuff.
Well, he's missed his next game because of swelling on the knee. Did you see that?
Already?
Oh, yes.
He's played one game.
Already. He's already hurting. One other quick NBA thing. I want to congratulate the Chicago Bulls, my team, on parting with DeMar DeRozan and basically being lucky to get a pack of bubble gum back in return. Like, I don't
I saw he was traded. Have no idea what the Bulls
nothing,
got.
Nothing. I mean, couldn't name who they got, maybe a second-round draft pick. I'm like, really? Guys like a 20-time All-Star, you can get nothing? I don't understand these teams and how they operate.
I don't either.
I really don't get it sometimes.
Me either. It's kind of weird.
All right. Why do I have to root for that team?
I don't know. You chose it.
I know.
And you, there's plenty of other teams. You could be Golden State Warrior fans.
What am I going to do? Just like quit right now in midstream?
Why not?
No. Nah, I don't do that. I just agonize.
So you're
stupid.
So you're just torturing yourself for a lifetime because you don't get rid of teams.
It's not a lifetime. I did have a 10-year stretch that was really, really good. But that was a long time ago.
All right.
All right, let's get to some trivia stuff. Chance to win fabulous cash and prizes.
No cash, just prizes.
No cash, just prizes.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you could win cash. Along with your prize.
You will That's be entered being, with a chance to win cash.
You could go out to Las Vegas to the Rio and win cash there.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
You'll be qualified for a trip to the Rio in Las Vegas. Two-night stay, dinner for two, day bed at the Rio pool. The Rio Las Vegas is back, baby.
Baby.
New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, four sparkling new pools, brand new food hall, all ready for you now. And your next Vegas escape. Beyond the unexpected, beyond the strip, beyond your wildest dreams, it's the Rio Las Vegas, the rhythm of Vegas. Book now at riolasvegas.com.
I had one of my most fun nights in Las Vegas at the Rio.
Okay.
I won.
It's because you won.
Penny slots.
Oh, penny slots. I've always got a kick out of the Vegas thing. Every gambler's favorite hotel and casino is the one where they've won the most money.
Well, duh.
You ever get that? It's like, I love Caesars. Why? I won the $800 there the other night. All right, but you don't love Caesars.
I love that slot machine at Hooters Hotel.
Right, exactly. It never fails.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going out to the, I don't know.
The Palace Station.
I'm going out to I was going to say the Mirage, but the Mirage got torn down.
That's kind of crazy.
But wherever you're going. And then somebody says, that's the worst place. What? I lost there. I see it's the hotel's fault.
So basically every place on the strip should be a place you hate.
They should all be tied for your least favorite.
Although
casinos.
I fall right into it because I'm like, hey, let's go to the Rio. I won $250
right.
on a penny slot.
Oh, it's the place you'll go next time, for sure.
It's kind of off the strip. Anyway, here we go. Here are the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you are a first-time player, let us know before we get into it, and you will get the first question for free. I did some work on these questions this weekend.
Good for you.
Letting you know that. And there are some Olympics questions in there.
I'm ready for you.
All right. Let's get to our first contestant. Let's go to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good,
pretty
Mike.
Pretty good. Are you ready to play?
Sure.
All
first
right.
First time player.
First time player! Player!
I heard it.
All right, we're going to question number two. Here you go, Mike. As I said... Oh, wait, no, that's all in the question number three. Anyway, what player was the last number one overall pick to be elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame? What player was the last number one overall pick to be elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Jeez, I can't even think of one number one pick.
That's a tough one.
Is this a question number three?
That is a tough one.
Maybe.
David Clyde. I don't know.
Hey, at least he gave
David
us a name.
Clyde.
At least he gave us a name. Chris,
well,
do you know?
I think was A-Rod a number one pick, but he's not in the Hall of Fame, so.
That's a point.
Nah. I don't know number one overall pick, Ken Griffey Jr. I don't know if he was, but I'm
Is
guessing.
Is he in the Hall?
Yeah.
Did he just
in
get
the
in?
Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer. No. It's not correct, so it doesn't matter. Who is it?
Joe Mauer, everybody.
Joe Mauer was the number one overall pick.
He was.
How about that?
Yes. I think
that's a number three question, but, you know, it worked in favor of Mike.
Mike,
because he stays alive. So very good for him.
All right, Mike, here we go. Question number three. Oh, wait, Chris. We played. You got to. Sorry, Mike. Hold on right there. We tried to play a version of Chris vs. the Fans, and it went horribly. So I just asked. I brought people on, and I asked them who had the better stat. Like, who had a better batting average? One of two guys. Guy got all three of them correct in the first contestant.
That was the end of the game?
Completely ruined the game, and then he made me talk.
So. That's how it works.
All right. Mike, here is your question.
For the big money.
And it goes like this. There are three countries to have hosted Olympics, but they no longer exist. Name two of the three.
The countries no longer exist.
The country no longer exists, but they have hosted an Olympics before.
Hmm. We got to know world history for this.
Yugoslavia.
Okay.
And Czechoslovakia.
Got it!
That is correct. That is correct.
You were pretty slow on the bell there. What happened?
Well, Czechoslovakia is... That one was in my research. Chris is going straight to the computer right now. He's going straight to the computer.
Well, let's just see what happened.
Well, I see Yugoslavia is one.
Okay, that makes sense. Yugoslavia, I think I would have got that.
Soviet Union is another, 1980,
Soviet
Moscow.
Soviet Union has been taken, chopped up.
West Germany is
West
no longer
Germany.
A country anymore. But the Czechoslovakia one was in there because at certain times that the... I don't even want to get into it because I'm probably going to say it wrong. So
going to mess this up.
But do you see what I'm saying over there?
No, did Czechoslovakia ever host the Olympics? If they didn't, then it's not
I'm
a correct
sure
answer.
They, let me see.
I don't think it did.
A Winter Olympics.
Oh, Winter Olympics. I don't know.
Let's ask Mike. Mike, when did Czechoslovakia...
I have no idea.
Okay. He doesn't know.
Yes. Stay there, Mike.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm giving it to Mike because I wouldn't have come up with a correct answer. I can tell you that. I would have got Yugoslavia. I forgot all about West Germany. And for some reason, I wouldn't have thought of the Soviet Union. But I don't think the Czechoslovakia ever hosted the Olympics.
They may have been a part of another country.
Well, anyway, for my money... Mike's a winner. Congratulate the guy. Give him a round of applause.
All right. Sorry. I'm still trying to figure this out.
I'm looking here. I don't see Czechoslovakia ever having hosted the summer or winter games. So it's okay. Hmm. Mike won. He's a champ.
Hmm.
It's on your positive record forever, Mike. Nicely done. All right. I thought it was an interesting question, though.
Thank you. But if you Google it...
Mm-hmm. You're just being quiet over there.
No, I know, because I'm kind of mad that I don't actually have the...
I spent
like 30 minutes on this question yesterday.
You got it. You got the three. He didn't get it, but I wouldn't have got it. So Mike wins.
All right.
Simple.
Okay.
I would not... West Germany was good, man. Munich, West Germany. And I didn't come up with that.
Yep.
And I didn't come up with Soviet Union because I've tried to blank that whole place out of my head.
I can't believe, like, in the height of the Cold War, they had the Summer Olympics in Moscow?
We weren't there.
I didn't do
United
any research.
United States did not go.
Okay, that makes sense. Then.
United States did
but
not
still,
go.
But still, what is the Olympic Committee thinking?
The Soviet Union boycotted the 1976 Olympics, which were in Montreal.
Okay.
That was the year that Bruce Jenner / Caitlin
won
the decathlon. Not saying... He would have won it.
Yes,
had the Soviets been there. But I'm just saying that was it. For reference. That was the year that Jenner won.
Okay.
And then so 1980, we returned the favor. We didn't go to the Olympics in Moscow.
That's very very strange.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy Carter was the president.
No, I'm not saying the decision not to go because, you know, it might be a little bit dangerous for Americans to go over to
the
Soviet Union in the middle of the Cold War.
He said nay.
Oh, someone said that your heart grew a couple sizes in this segment, Chris.
Because I let Mike be a winner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diesel said that.
I'm not even a Grinch for the moment.
Yeah.
All right, very good, Mike. Congratulations. You win the trip to the Rio Las Vegas, or qualified for
Thank
the trip
you.
To Las Vegas. Hope you end up winning it. And you won as a first-time player. So that's a pretty cool thing. Break time, traffic check, Gwen and Chris. When we come back, special segment that I've been kind of waiting to do all day long.
Wow.
So I'll tell you about it. It was very sad over the weekend.
Oh, no.
But we definitely need to spend some time on it. Don't miss it. It's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Nicely done by Mike. Winner, Chris versus the fans today. Nicely done by my friend Kirk Kenny. Corrected me. I'm glad he did.
I just got a note, too.
Yeah. We boycotted the 80 Olympics. The Soviets, in return, boycotted the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles.
Leave it to Kirk to...
Kirk was on it. Thank you, Kirk.
Pete on X tells me that the Sarajevo Olympics in 1984 were in Czechoslovakia.
Sarajevo?
Yeah.
I think that's Yugoslavia.
Possibly. But maybe it was Czechoslovakia at the time?
I don't know. There's a lot of Avakias there.
There's a lot of Vakias there.
A lot of Vakias there.
Hey, my family's from Lithuania. You keep your words to yourself, sir.
All right. Did you see Jay Posner, our guy Jay Posner from the San Diego Union-Tribune?
What?
Wrote a terrific, beautiful, lengthy, and interesting article on our guy Jesse Agler.
Oh, yeah, I did see this.
Front of the paper.
Yeah, it was great.
Yesterday. I saw Jay last week at the golf. He told me about the article, so he said he had a great time. But if you want to learn and, just kind of dive into the life and times of the Padre play-by-play guy, Jesse Agler, really, really good story. And the story at the beginning of the story was really good, too.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yes, I briefly skimmed. I have to go back and, actually read.
Okay, he was doing an interview with the president of the Miami Dolphins, and he was asked what his dream job was, and Jesse Agler said to be a baseball play-by-play guy, and the guy from the Dolphins said, "You know, we're a football team, right?"
Yeah,
and he said, "Yeah, but I got to be honest, I got to tell you the truth," and it was that answer that, you know, as you read the article, you kind of find turned out to bring him full circle and coming out to San Diego from Miami and wind up eventually being the play-by-play voice of the Padres, of which he is brilliant.
Yes.
Jesse Agler. You can find the story online somewhere.
It's everywhere.
Tweet out Jay Posner.
Go to Jesse's Twitter as well. I'm sure he retweeted it.
Yeah, go to Jesse's Twitter, but you can find it if you don't get the newspaper. But I enjoyed the article immensely. Here's one that was much, much more sad, unfortunately. Yeah. This happened over the weekend, and the passing, actually it was Thursday night, but the passing of the athletic director at Point Loma Nazarene University, a young man, and I can certainly say young man, by the name of Ethan Hamilton, passed away at the age of 48, Scrabe. Mm. Not fair.
No.
Friends and colleagues were really left shocked by this whole thing. He apparently had a battle with leukemia.
Oh, wow.
And things just, they unexpectedly went south. Like, you know, nobody was prepared for it.
Wow.
Just a reminder, friendly reminder to you listening right there and everyone else, enjoy every day and all the time you have. I mean, these kinds of stories, so sad. Ron Fowler was among those who commented, saying that he was one of the nicest young men he'd ever met. And a very good athletic director. Point Loma Nazarene has risen to great prominence, you know, in the Division II NCAA sports world.
Yes, they have.
Baseball team did great, basketball. But that's not what this is about. This is about a man who lost a battle with leukemia at the age of 48 years old. He started as a student assistant to the basketball team. Ended up as the athletic director, Ethan Hamilton. Gone far too soon.
This got me because I'm getting older, and he's only 9 years older than me.
Right.
And I can't even imagine to, like, I can't even imagine to think 9 years is all that I have left.
Well,
sad.
Yeah, you hopefully don't want to think
about it that way.
But
that was a weird way to put it.
It was, but these are the kind of stories that get you thinking that way.
They do.
And that's why the only solution to that thinking is to enjoy yourself as much as you can all the time.
And go to the doctor and get your checkups.
Taking care of yourself is another decent bit of advice.
Something I have done since I stopped drinking, because if I didn't go to the doctor when I did, I would have probably died of something, because my body was in that much trouble. So
you were not doing a good job of taking care of yourself.
Exactly.
For many, many years.
Yeah, that's an understatement, Chris.
One more story kind of on top of that one. Just as sad, but different in the sense that this kind of thing could have been avoided. And I'm talking to you out there that is right now driving about 83 miles an hour and zigging in and out of traffic on the 15 or the 805. I'm speaking to you, sir or ma'am. Slow down. Minnesota Vikings rookie cornerback Kyree Jackson and two others, ages 23 and 24, about the same ages as the kids who were in our studio here earlier today.
True.
From San Diego State. Killed in a car crash over the weekend, 3:14 a.m. Saturday. Why were they killed? Were they misbehaving? Were they drinking? Were they, you know, otherwise, you know, getting into difficulty? No. They were driving along when some other idiot driving another car changed lanes at high speed, ran into them, and knocked them off the road. And their car tumbled over, and they all died.
Yeah, and I believe there's alcohol involved in that.
Of course. But this is, you know, if you idiot out there have to drive that fast, and every one of us listening has seen this recently, if not...
Saw it today on the way down.
Today, yeah. Drive where there is nobody else on the road so that if something stupid happens, you're the one that gets hurt, not somebody else like these three kids that are driving along. And don't tell me, well, they shouldn't be out at 3:14 in the morning.
When you were 23, I bet you were out at 3:14.
I think all of us were. You know, this is just, these kinds of stories really get to me.
Yeah.
And you have three guys who die college coaches, you know, sending out tweets and the Minnesota Vikings losing a rookie player before he ever got a chance to perform. It's not really even the point. There were 23, 24-year-old people, kids, driving, and you are driving along like an idiot, going in and out of all these lanes. They are the ones that pay the price for your, you know, inexcusable behavior. I'm sick of that, man.
I'm with you.
All right.
I'm with you, Chris.
I know you are, and I know probably 99.9% of everybody out there is with me.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about that 1% guy who's still zigging, zagging out of the lanes right now.
They don't care.
I know they
don't.
Which
is unfortunate.
And that's the problem, is I could talk till I turn, you know, blue in the face. I can't reach those people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, you can't.
So, stories like this really are...
I think we... Really, it's a bummer to talk about them, but I think we need them because it does put you in that spot where you think, hey, I got to appreciate what I have now. Instead of not appreciating it, because I lived in that sort of world for a long time, and now I do appreciate it, and just sad. These guys, this guy was drafted in the fourth round by the Vikings just 2 months ago, or month and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
about to go to training camp, and it's not, I mean, obviously.
Not going to.
Not going to.
No. Not because of his own, not because of his own stupidity. Somebody else's stupidity.
Yeah.
All right, more Gwen and Chris. Sorry about that sad segment, but hopefully we all take a little lesson from it. And if we're having a rough day, we turn it a better day the rest of the way on 97.3 The Fan. All right, show's rolling along nicely. 4:35 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together.
It is.
The Odyssey Palace Studios. Thanks again. I know it was earlier and we've already thanked him, but Greg Camarillo doing a really good thing.
He
brought it up.
Yeah.
Academic advisor with the San Diego State football team and, you know, hooking up or getting three guys from that football team to hook up, come on into the station today, get a little time on the air, find out a little bit more about the radio business, which they're all very interested in after their playing career.
Yes.
And that's good stuff that Greg Camarillo's doing. Good on those kids for coming in. And, you know, taking the time to make sure that they pay attention to other parts of their lives.
You missed me being the host of the tour for the first, like, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I was just thinking it was cool that I was walking around with a bunch of Aztec players and a former NFL player.
Right.
And they were all, like, cool, thinking it was cool that they were walking around with someone who does radio for a living. So.
Yeah, they thought you were cool. So that's
this is, like, the only time it's ever happened.
Doesn't happen often.
No.
But today was one of those days for you.
And, by the way, Kyle Crum, one of the guys who was in here, he said that he had a podcast, and I guess it's not easy to find on YouTube, so I am tweeting it out right now because he sent me the link.
Oh, good.
So at Matt Scraby, MattSkraby.
He does a lot. He does podcasting with you know, insight interviews into guys on that Aztec football team, and I assume there are many Aztec fans who would, you know, very much enjoy that. By the way, one last thing. Do you know who? And I think his name is Jose Miranda.
He's on my fantasy team now.
Oh, he is. You picked him up.
Yep.
All right. The reason I'm bringing him up. It's because he tied the all-time record
mm-hmm.
for most consecutive hits. He had 12 hits and 12 at-bats. You remember earlier this year, Fernando made a little run at that. I think Fernando got 8, maybe 9. Well, Miranda got 12. He did it. He tied the record. And in the story, it said, Scraby, and I thought of you, he tied the record originally held by Walt Dropo and Pinky Higgins. And I knew you'd get a kick out of that.
I did. When I heard it, I was like, what are the odds that Walt Dropo is going to come up twice in maybe a month?
Yeah, and Pinky Higgins, both of them. They get recollected thanks to Jose Miranda getting 12 consecutive hits for the Minnesota Twins. All right, let's get into some traffic in today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right.
Let's get into it, Chris. I designed some of these questions with Tony in mind, and because I completely forgot that he was not going to be in today.
Anthony Gwynn.
On me. So you'll get my baseball opinions.
Number five.
I know everybody wants those. I started reading an ESPN article this morning, Chris, that I had to pay for, and it was quite annoying that I had to read this through what I had. It was about All-Star snubs, and in the course of reading this article, I learned some new stats, like Axe. Do you know what Axe is?
Nope.
Great, neither do I. And B-War. Do you know what B-War is?
I know there's F-War.
Okay.
There's regular war.
I've learned this.
But I assume since I hate war,
mm-hmm.
that I probably would hate F-War and B-War, so I don't bother even, you know, checking into those things.
All right, have you ever heard of WRC+?
Is that War Plus?
No, it's Weighted Runs Created Plus.
Oh, come on.
All right. WRC Plus and F-War come from Fangraphs. It's their own calculation. OPS and B-War comes from Baseball Reference. It's their own calculation.
God.
Had no idea we were talking about just different calculations. So, basically...
Well, excuse me, we had Matt Snyder on earlier, and he was saying that Baseball Reference's war calculations
yes.
state that... Jerickson Merrill,
Jerickson
Merrill, yeah, he's a good combo player. The Jackson Merrill and Paul Skeens have almost the same war.
Yes.
But some other war category might have that different.
For the most part, they're very similar, but they may be a little bit different.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's not what I'm going to ask you. But bottom line, there are tons of stats out there for baseball. Chris, in 50 years, what is one stat we will not be referencing anymore?
Batting average.
I almost thought the same thing.
I have a bad feeling somebody's going to come to the plate pretty soon and they're just going to say, he's got 20 home runs, 90 RBIs, and his OPS is, you know, 942. I don't know the batting average will keep existing. But a lot of this stuff is just... You're asking somebody who does this for a living, but I think a lot of these stats are just made up to be self-serving to the people out there trying to make a certain point.
It could be.
Do you know what I mean?
No, there are guys that will reference stats that I've never heard of just for the point of making their point.
Just to help them make a point. So, yeah, I try not to put too much into it. I probably would win my fantasy baseball league more often if I paid attention to all this stuff because I think it maybe means something. But I choose to just, you know, feel a player is really good or really not good based on what I think. Rather than having to go F-War, B-War, X-War, WRC, yeah.
The first thing I thought of, obviously, was batting average. But since you already said that, I had to go quickly and think of something else. What about on-base percentage?
I think that's going to always be big because that includes walks. And
okay.
walks are a big analytical
no,
thing.
No, you're right. It's a true outcome. So
yeah.
It's
I mean,
one of
I
the
already
three true outcomes.
I mean, in my fantasy baseball, I'm sure yours... We don't even use batting average anymore. It used to be a staple category.
We are using OBP.
We use OPS or OPS or OPB, right?
Yeah. Right. Okay, that makes sense. What about the strikeout stat for a batter? Do we even care that they strike out?
How many strike out?
Yeah.
We do, but they don't.
Yeah, exactly. We're never going to talk about
the players themselves could care less how many times they strike out. It's pretty obvious. Tony, you know, when he's on, he always tells us the story that he used to really hate walking that 15 yards back to the dugout. It was almost embarrassing to him.
Yeah, it would be embarrassing to
right?
me, too, I would think.
Yeah, to these guys, not so much.
All right.
Number four.
Now, Stephen Curry said he doesn't think there will be another dynasty in the NBA like the one the Golden State Warriors had.
Mm-hmm.
Curry, in the wake of Klay Thompson's departure last week to the Dallas Mavericks, told ESPN that he believes what the Warriors built with Thompson, Draymond Green, and himself is unlikely to be repeated. He said, I mean, obviously, defining a dynasty can take a lot of different looks. People thought this was over in 2019, but 2022 was an amazing championship because we defied the odds. That's 11 years of almost 12 years of championship relevancy built around a certain core. Duh. I don't think it will be replicated just because it's very hard to keep things together in this league. A lot more player movement. And he goes on and on, but that's about the gist of everything. So
yeah.
I'm up first. Do you agree or disagree with Steph? I disagree.
which is weird because Steph Curry is a professional basketball player. But I disagree with him because...
He's also God to somebody such as yourself who's a Northern California sports fan.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I do like Steph Curry. I do, but I'm not the biggest Warriors fan in the world. I mean, it was nice to see him win, but growing up, they were terrible, so I never got into them. But I disagree with him because there's easily... going to be maybe a Kevin Durant that joins up with a team just to win a championship one year. And then he stays with the team, and then they got a dynasty. The Celtics? What if the Celtics go on this run right now and go on a dynasty run? They just won the finals. I disagree because you can't say never, basically. Chris?
Yeah, never's too long. I think when the Bulls did what they did, I don't think anybody thought we'd ever see another run like that. You know, and I don't know, did the Warriors have the same run? Four out of what, six for the Warriors?
Something like that.
Four out of seven. You know, great run. Dynasty. But somebody else will come along. You'll get the right mix of players, and they'll stay together for 3 or 4 years. And honestly, we overuse these words, dynasty, by a long shot, because I've already read a lot of people who think that the Celtics already are the next greatest team ever. And I'm like, what have they even done? Get out of here!
They won a title.
They won one title. Okay, but please don't put them in the great category yet. So... I do think Steph's wrong.
Now, in the way,
but
of
I
him,
get where he's coming from.
Me too, because he said 11 out of 12 years.
I get where he's coming from, and I will add that I believe he would like to be right so that he's remembered as part of the last great dynasty. You know what I'm saying? It makes sense in that regard.
We actually have some good suggestions for the baseball stat we're not going to talk about in 50 years. From Taps, quality starts are going to be wins for or make wins for pitchers obsolete. So wins and losses for pitchers.
Okay.
Also ERA for pitchers. We could, because it's inflated by certain things.
I can't say that because I love ERA.
Me too.
It was used to be my favorite stat of my life when I was pitching.
Well, you were a pitcher, yeah. So that makes sense. All right, so let's move on.
Number three,
the Lakers announced Saturday. Keep in mind, I wrote this for Tony. The Lakers announced Saturday that LeBron James signed a 2-year extension for $101.35 million that would take him through 23 seasons in the league, and it will edge out Vince Carter for the 22-year career record. That's a lot. The deal is approximately, get this, Chris, $2.7 million below the $104 million max. So LeBron James taking a discount. The contract includes a player option for the second season, which grants LeBron James a default no-trade clause by playing two consecutive seasons on one-year guarantees with his veteran status. James's agent, Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, told ESPN last week that James would be willing to take a pay cut to help LA land an impact player in free agency by opening up the $12.9 million mid-level exception. Chris, is $2.7 million below the $104 million max for LeBron James make him a hero?
No.
Exactly.
Sounds like he wants to be a hero, but he's not.
If you want to be a hero, sign for $1 million a year. Yeah, of course, it's never going to happen, nor should he let it happen.
I'm not in the same business as you are.
I'm not
hating LeBron James. But on this one, you know, the people that are saying that LeBron James hired his own coach, the people that are saying he held the organization up to draft his own son, I get where a lot of those people are coming from. I do. I understand that the son thing is almost in, it's almost hard to argue against that. He had to have input into the fact that his own son got drafted to that team. So if you're going to, you know, hold him up for ransom and hate him for that, then you're going to. But him taking a little pay cut to help the Lakers is just, it's a very fairly nice thing to do, but it's of no, has no impact on LeBron James's life.
It's just,
I mean, they make so
literally
much money.
He,
come on.
He probably has $2 million sitting in his garbage can right now. Maybe not, but you get what I'm saying. Like, $2 million is nothing for LeBron James.
He took a $2 million pay cut.
Basically, yeah.
So
$2.4 million.
Yeah. And I'm not giving him any credit.
Well, the
that.
Article that got me to click was LeBron takes pay cut to open up roster, you know, money for additional roster spots or whatever. And I clicked it thinking, okay, he's going to be taking like a $50 million pay cut, $2 million. Rob Manfred right now is speaking at the Willie Mays Memorial, Chris. I hope he sounds better than this.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
That's live from San Francisco right now.
You're mean.
I am mean. Okay, let's move on to the next one. That would be number two.
Number two.
2 months after missing the final three Clippers playoff games with knee inflammation, Kawhi Leonard is prepping with Team USA for the Summer Olympics in Paris. So what do the Clippers think about their injured or often injured star? That's not me writing that. That was the article. Inviting more injury risk to play for another team. Are they concerned? He told reporters, quote, not really. They were positive about the situation. So, yeah, they weren't too worried about it, end quote. He said that his knee has improved since the NBA postseason, leading to his decision to accept USA Basketball's invitation. And he said he was able to turn around over the last 2 weeks. So he's out here now and he's having a good time. I'm up first. Should the Clippers care about Kawhi Leonard playing in the Olympics? My answer is yes. They're paying his bills. I think that when you get injured in the playoffs and you miss a lot of time, your first, this is harsh to say, but your first responsibility should be to your employer. And Kawhi Leonard's been on these teams before, but if you can't stay healthy during the regular season and postseason of a basketball season, why are you going to risk injury by going to play internationally and maybe not be able to play for the Clippers again this year? So I say yes, the Clippers should have been concerned about this. Chris?
I would just say that in any contest between Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers are probably wrong.
Wait, what?
I'm going to say that any contest between Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, that the Clippers are probably wrong.
They're the Clippers. Okay.
But I'm also going to answer on behalf of Tony since he's not here. And, you know, players should go out and do what they damn well please and enjoy. And if it's not in his contract that he can't play in the Olympics, then he ought to be able to go out and do it.
Hey, Mr. Kawhi Leonard, come on into my office. Would, if you get injured in the Olympics, would you forego the salary of the games that you don't play?
Well, but that's just a stupid question because he's not going to ever have to do that.
I know, but it's like, I'm a player guy. I like when players get money. I like when they get their big contracts when they deserve it. But I'm also a team guy where if it doesn't seem fair that the team's paying this guy for doing nothing, then it's not fair that they're paying this guy for doing nothing.
I get what you're saying in a perfect world, but we're not anywhere close to that.
Good point.
Number one.
All right, so we have some confirmed home run derby participants. Chris said a little bit earlier, but Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. has announced he's going to be in the MLB home run derby here next week. He is from Dallas, so this makes sense for him to do it in front of his hometown crowd. Others involved, Gunnar Henderson, Pete Alonso, Alec Bohm, and then Marcell Ozuna has been added to the mix as well. So, Chris, with those guys in, I know what you're going to say. Are those good enough names for you to get to tune in for a second, see what's happening?
The only names that would be good enough would be Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth, and they're all no longer, unfortunately, yes, with us, as Rob Manfred is making painfully clear during this ceremony.
But,
you know, there aren't enough big names, no. I'm not going to watch a home run derby except for the fact that we'll be working that night and you'll have it up on the screen. So,
true.
You know, we'll watch it and every now and again somebody will go, oh my God! Like they've never seen a ball hit, you know, deep into the stands
before. It's in Dallas, so
that's all the way to Oklahoma!
Oh, yeah.
It cracks me up every time. It's kind of like, you know what the baseball home run derby is like to me? I just figured it out.
What?
I really did. It's just like fireworks. People see fireworks, and every firework is like, whoa! Wow!
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen!
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's get into it, Chris. I designed some of these questions with Tony in mind, and because I completely forgot that he was not going to be in today.
Anthony Gwynn.
On me. So you'll get my baseball opinions.
Number five.
I know everybody wants those. I started reading an ESPN article this morning, Chris, that I had to pay for. And it was quite annoying that I had to read this through what I had. It was about All-Star snubs. And in the course of reading this article, I learned some new stats. Like Axe. Do you know what Axe is?
Nope.
Great. Neither do I. And B-War. Do you know what B-War is?
I know there's F-War.
Okay.
There's regular war.
I've learned this.
But I assume since I hate war, that I probably would hate F-War and B-War, so I don't bother even, you know, checking into those things.
All right. Have you ever heard of WRC+?
Is that War Plus?
No, it's Weighted Runs Created Plus.
Oh, come on.
All right. WRC Plus and F-War come from Fangraphs. It's their own calculation. OPS and B-War comes from Baseball Reference. It's their own calculation. Had no idea we were talking about just different calculations. So, basically...
Well, excuse me. We had Matt Snyder on earlier, and he was saying that Baseball Reference's war calculations state that... Jackson Merrill, yeah, he's a good combo player. The Jackson Merrill and Paul Skenes have almost the same war.
Yes.
But some other war category might have that different.
For the most part, they're very similar, but they may be a little bit different.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's not what I'm going to ask you. But bottom line, there are tons of stats out there for baseball. Chris, in 50 years, what is one stat we will not be referencing anymore?
Batting average.
I almost thought the same thing.
I have a bad feeling somebody's going to come to the plate pretty soon and they're just going to say, he's got 20 home runs, 90 RBIs, and his OPS is, you know, 942. I don't know that batting average will keep existing. But a lot of this stuff is just... you know what? You're asking somebody who does this for a living, but I think a lot of these stats are just made up to be self-serving to the people out there trying to make a certain point.
It could be.
Do you know what I mean?
No, there are guys that will reference stats that I've never heard of just for the point of making their point.
Just to help them make a point. So, yeah, I try not to put too much into it. I probably would win my fantasy baseball league more often if I paid attention to all this stuff because I think it maybe means something. But I choose to just, you know, feel a player is really good or really not good based on what I think. Rather than having to go F war, B war, X war, WRC, yeah.
The first thing I thought of obviously was batting average. But since you already said that, I had to go quickly and think of something else. What about on base percentage?
I think that's going to always be big because that includes walks. And walks are a big analytical thing.
No, you're right. It's a true outcome. So,
yeah.
It's one of the three true outcomes.
I mean, in my fantasy baseball, I'm sure yours. We don't even use batting average anymore. It used to be a staple category.
We are using OBP.
We use OPS. Or OPS or OPB, right.
Yeah. Right. Okay, that makes sense. What about the strikeout stat for a batter? Do we even care that they strike out?
How many strike out?
Yeah.
We do, but they don't.
Yeah, exactly. We're never going to talk about it.
The players themselves could care less how many times they strike out. It's pretty obvious. Tony, you know, when he's on, he always tells us the story that he used to really hate walking that 15 yards back to the dugout. It was almost embarrassing to him.
Yeah, it would be embarrassing to me too, I would think.
Yeah, to these guys, not so much.
All right. Number four. Now, Stephen Curry said he doesn't think there will be another dynasty in the NBA like the one the Golden State Warriors had.
Mm-hmm.
Curry, in the wake of Klay Thompson's departure last week to the Dallas Mavericks, told ESPN that he believes what the Warriors built with Thompson, Draymond Green, and himself is unlikely to be repeated. He said, I mean, obviously, defining a dynasty can take a lot of different looks. People thought this was over in 2019, but 2022 was an amazing championship because we defied the odds. That's 11 years of almost 12 years of championship relevancy built around a certain core. Duh. I don't think it will be replicated just because it's very hard to keep things together in this league. A lot more player movement. And he goes on and on, but that's about the gist of everything. So
yeah.
I'm up first. Do you agree or disagree with Steph? I disagree. Which is weird because Steph Curry is a professional basketball player. But I disagree with him because...
He's also God to somebody such as yourself who's a Northern California
sports
fan.
I mean, yes, I do like Steph Curry. I do, but I'm not the biggest Warriors fan in the world. I mean, it was nice to see him win. But growing up, they were terrible, so you never got into them. But I disagree with him because there's easily... going to be maybe a Kevin Durant that joins up with a team just to win a championship one year. And then he stays with the team, and then they got a dynasty. The Celtics? What if the Celtics go on this run right now and go on a dynasty run? They just won the finals. I disagree because you can't say never, basically. Chris?
Yeah, never's too long. I think when the Bulls did what they did, I don't think anybody thought we'd ever see another run like that. You know, and I don't know, did the Warriors have the same run? Eh. Four out of what, six for the Warriors?
Something like that.
Four out of seven? You know, great run. Dynasty. But somebody else will come along. You'll get the right mix of players, and they'll stay together for 3 or 4 years. And honestly, we overuse these words, dynasty, by a long shot, because I've already read a lot of people who think that the Celtics already are the next greatest team ever. And I'm like, what have they even done? Get out of here!
They won a title.
They won one title. Okay, but please don't put them in the great category yet. So, I do think Steph's wrong.
Now, in the way,
but
of
I
him,
get where he's coming from.
Me too, because he said 11 out of 12 years.
I get where he's coming from, and I will add that I believe he would like to be right so that he's remembered as part of the last great dynasty. You know what I'm saying? It makes sense in that regard.
We actually have some good suggestions for the baseball stat we're not going to talk about in 50 years. From Taps, quality starts are going to be wins for or make wins for pitchers obsolete. So wins and losses for pitchers.
Okay.
Also ERA for pitchers. We could, because it's inflated by certain things.
I can't say that because I love ERA.
Me too.
It was used to be my favorite stat of my life when I was pitching.
Well, you were a pitcher, yeah. So that makes sense. All right, so let's move on.
Number three,
the Lakers announced Saturday. Keep in mind, I wrote this for Tony. The Lakers announced Saturday that LeBron James signed a 2-year extension for $101.35 million that would take him through 23 seasons in the league, and it will edge out Vince Carter for the 22-year career record. That's a lot. The deal is approximately, get this, Chris, $2.7 million below the $104 million max. So LeBron James taking a discount. The contract includes a player option for the second season, which grants LeBron James a default no-trade clause by playing two consecutive seasons on one-year guarantees with his veteran status. James's agent, Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, told ESPN last week that James would be willing to take a pay cut to help LA land an impact player in free agency by opening up the $12.9 million mid-level exception. Chris, is $2.7 million below the $104 million max for LeBron James make him a hero?
No.
Exactly.
Sounds like he wants to be a hero, but he's not.
If you want to be a hero, sign for $1 million a year. Yeah, of course, it's never going to happen, nor should he let it happen.
I'm not in the same business as you are.
I'm not
hating LeBron James. But on this one, you know, the people that are saying that LeBron James hired his own coach, the people that are saying he held the organization up to draft his own son, I get where a lot of those people are coming from. I do. I understand that the son thing is almost in, it's almost hard to argue against that. He had to have input into the fact that his own son got drafted to that team. So if you're going to, you know, hold him up for ransom and hate him for that, then you're going to. But him taking a little pay cut to help the Lakers is just, it's a very fairly nice thing to do, but it's of no, has no impact on LeBron James's life.
It's just,
I mean, they make so
literally
much money.
He,
come on.
He probably has $2 million sitting in his garbage can right now. Maybe not, but you get what I'm saying. Like, $2 million is nothing for LeBron James.
He took a $2 million pay cut.
Basically, yeah.
So
$4 million.
Yeah. And I'm not giving him any credit.
Well, the
that.
Article that got me to click was LeBron takes pay cut to open up roster, you know, money for additional roster spots or whatever. And I clicked it thinking, okay, he's going to be taking like a $50 million pay cut, $2 million. Rob Manfred right now is speaking at the Willie Mays Memorial, Chris. I hope he sounds better than this.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
That's live from San Francisco right now.
You're mean.
I am mean. Okay, let's move on to the next one. That would be number two.
Number two.
2 months after missing the final three Clippers playoff games with knee inflammation, Kawhi Leonard is prepping with Team USA for the Summer Olympics in Paris. So what do the Clippers think about their injured or often injured star? That's not me writing that. That was the article. Inviting more injury risk to play for another team. Are they concerned? He told reporters, quote, not really. They were positive about the situation. So, yeah, they weren't too worried about it, end quote. He said that his knee has improved since the NBA postseason, leading to his decision to accept USA Basketball's invitation. And he said he took the he was able to turn around over the last 2 weeks. So he's out here now and he's having a good time. I'm up first. Should the Clippers care about Kawhi Leonard playing in the Olympics? My answer is yes. They're paying his bills. I think that when you get injured in the playoffs and you miss a lot of time, your first, this is harsh to say, but your first responsibility should be to your employer. And Kawhi Leonard's been on these teams before, but if you can't stay healthy during the regular season and postseason of a basketball season, why are you going to risk injury by going to play internationally and maybe not be able to play for the Clippers again this year? So I say yes, the Clippers should have been concerned about this. Chris?
I would just say that in any contest between Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers are probably wrong.
Wait, what?
I'm going to say that any contest between Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, that the Clippers are probably wrong.
They're
the Clippers.
Okay.
But I'm also going to answer on behalf of Tony since he's not here. And, you know, players should go out and do what they damn well please and enjoy. And if it's not in his contract that he can't play in the Olympics, then he ought to be able to go out and do it.
Hey, Mr. Kawhi Leonard, come on into my office. Would, if you get injured in the Olympics, would you forego the salary of the games that you don't play?
Well, but that's just a stupid question because he's not going to ever have to do that.
I know, but it's like, I'm a player guy. I like when players get money. I like when they get their big contracts when they deserve it. But I'm also a team guy where if it doesn't seem fair that the team's paying this guy for doing nothing, then it's not fair that they're paying this guy for doing nothing.
I get what you're saying in a perfect world, but we're not anywhere close to that.
Good point. Number one. All right, so we have some confirmed home run derby participants. Chris said a little bit earlier, but Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. has announced he's going to be in the MLB home run derby here next week. He is from Dallas, so this makes sense for him to do it in front of his hometown crowd. Others involved, Gunnar Henderson, Pete Alonso, Alec Bohm, and then Marcell Ozuna has been added to the mix as well. So, Chris, with those guys in, I know what you're going to say. Are those good enough names for you to get to tune in for a second, see what's happening?
The only names that'd be good enough would be Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth, and they're all no longer, unfortunately, yes, with us, as Rob Manfred is making painfully clear during this ceremony.
But,
you know, there aren't enough big names, no. I'm not going to watch a home run derby except for the fact that we'll be working that night and you'll have it up on the screen. So,
true.
You know, we'll watch it. And every now and again, somebody or somebody will go, oh, my God, like they've never seen a ball hit, you know, deep into the stands.
It's
before.
In Dallas. So that's all the way to Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. It cracks me up every time. It's kind of like, you know what the baseball home run derby is like to me? I just figured it out.
What?
I really did. It's just like fireworks. People see fireworks, and every firework is like, whoa! Wow! Hey! Ah! Ooh! And I'm sitting there going, have you never seen a firework? This is what they look like. Same with the home run derby. Seen it a million times. Don't need to see it anymore. Sorry.
Okay, I can
get that. You know, I'm being kind of, what's the... Anyway,
Brandon puts on the chat for Chris Berman. Back. That's all the way to Oklahoma City.
That was fun.
What was the question? Are these guys going to get me to tune in? Yeah, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this.
Damn.
That means
I got to watch.
You know, as much trash as I talk about other players, Pete Alonso, I got to give a little credit to because he does it every year. And I know that there's a little bit of Pete Alonso fatigue in the home run derby, which I understand. I'm kind of Pete Alonso fatigued myself. But the guy does it every year for the fans.
Yeah,
and I think that's awesome.
Should get a little credit for that.
Yeah.
Should get a little credit for that. But I, you know, look, I don't like to watch the Home Run Derby, but I don't like to watch fireworks either, but I end up watching them every year. So it's kind of the same thing, way I look at it.
It was hard with the fireworks this year because it was kind of overcast, where I was at least.
Yeah. They're even worse when you can't see them at all.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Just the noise is not enough.
I saw this whole documentary on how they make fireworks. That's also very cool. Did you see what happened at the BYU football stadium? They shot off fireworks and they went crazy. And I'm not kidding. Like, fireworks shot into the crowd and injured people. So fireworks are dangerous too, Chris.
No truth to the rumor that I was the one shooting off those fireworks. Since I dislike BYU so much.
I don't know. Now we got to do some investigating.
I know. All right. Final hour. We'll preview tomorrow's Padre game, maybe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.